Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of studies out of the book of Matthew. So get close to your radio and have your Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
You for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts this evening in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. All right, we are looking again tonight at the book of St. Matthew. The book of St. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. And we looked at in our last lesson, we saw Jesus as the king. Matthew presents Jesus as the king. Matthew is the first of the four gospel books. And the four gospel books, each one of them present Jesus differently. Matthew presents Jesus as the king. Mark presents Jesus as a perfect servant. Luke presents Jesus as a perfect man. And John presents Jesus as God in flesh. And so, as we go through this book of Matthew, we're going to be focusing on Jesus as the king, Jesus coming to this earth as king. Last time we looked at his birth, and his birth shows us that he qualified to sit upon the throne of David. So he did qualify to sit upon the throne of David in terms of his birth. But he also proved that he was qualified to serve as king because he defeated Satan in the wilderness, didn't he? Now, if Jesus would have failed to the temptation of the devil, then we would not have a perfect Savior. In other words, Jesus would have been like us. He would have needed somebody to come and die for him because he yielded to temptation. But thank God Jesus did not yield to temptation. Now, the devil tempted Jesus how many times? How many times?
Three.
How many times?
Three.
Amen. Three times. And he tempted him in what area of life?
Spirit.
Okay, so he tempted him in the spirit, the area of his spirit.
Body.
And he tempted him in the area of his body.
And
he tempted him in the area of his soul. So his body, soul, and spirit. So in every area, because that's where the devil will tempt you, and he will tempt you in the body, the flesh. Amen. Or he will tempt you in the area of the spirit. And when we're talking about the area of the spirit, that's that area of pride. So often, the area of pride. You know, like a person, they may go around and brag that, you know, well, one thing about it, I know I'm a humble person. I try my best to be humble. I know I'm humble. Now, I just yield to temptation, didn't I?
Yeah.
You see, if you go around bragging on yourself that you humble, then you're no longer humble.
Exactly.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Do you see how the devil is so crafty? Sometimes that's why, you know, old folks used to pray, God, you know, forgive me of the sins that I know I committed and the sins that I don't know that I committed. Yeah. Because sometimes, and then sometimes they would pray, God, protect us from the seen and the unseen danger. Yeah. Because, see, there's a lot of stuff that we just don't even know. Sometimes we're not even aware that we done slipped up and done sin. Just like, you know, a lot of times, you know, I hear people say, you know, well, I try to be humble. Like I said, that illustration I gave a minute ago, they didn't know, but they already done messed up. They no longer humble. Amen. All right. Tonight I want to look at the preaching ministry of Jesus. The preaching ministry of Jesus. Jesus came preaching. He could have came as many other things. He could have came as a firefighter. He could have came as a policeman. But according to Mark chapter 1, the scripture said Jesus came preaching. He came preaching. And so I want us to look at one of the greatest sermons that Jesus preached. It was what we come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, or the Sermon in the Mountain. Because the scripture says here in verse number, chapter 5, verse 1, and when he saw the multitude, he went up where?
Unto the mountain.
He went up on the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he began to do what?
Teach.
He began to teach. Now, think about it. The disciples had kind of somewhat distanced themselves from the multitude. They kind of got a little front row seat, and so when they came right on up there, Jesus gave him a mouthful. So from chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7, Jesus is setting teaching. Now keep in mind, whenever teachers would teach in Bible days, they would teach in a sitting position. They would often stand and go to the lecture, and they would read. And then after they had finished reading the scripture, then they would sit down. And then they would teach in a sitting down position. And so Jesus on this mountain, what is his position? Is it a posture? What is his posture? Is it standing or teaching? All right. He's sitting down. And so this let us know he's teaching with authority. Whenever the teacher sits down, that lets you know he's teaching with authority. Now, notice what he does. He gives 8 attitudes that you got to have if you're going to be his disciple. If you're going to follow Jesus, Jesus says this is the attitude you must have. As a matter of fact, theologians call these first 13 verses, or first 12 verses, the Beatitude. How many of y'all ever heard of that? The Beatitude. You know why they call that the Beatitude? Let this attitude be in you. This is what he's talking about. And notice now, Jesus is letting us know right up front, if you want to be happy, because the word blessed means there happiness inside out. Most people look at happiness outside in. If I get me a car, I'll be happy. Get me a dog, I'll be happy. Get me a house, I'll be happy. Get me a husband, I'll be happy. Hello, somebody. But a lot of time after you done got those things, you still not happy. A lot of time after you done got that car, after 4 or 5 years, let me get me another one. Hello, somebody. After you done got, appliances that you've been dying to get, you get that, but then after a while you want something else. You know, next time I'm going to get me a green one, a yellow one, Yeah, why is that? Because we basing happiness on outward stuff. Mm-hmm. True happiness is from within. So even if I don't have a car, I'm still happy. Even if I don't have a house, I'm still happy. You look at Jesus. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have nests. I don't have nowhere to lay my head. But he was the most happiest man in the world. Why? Happiness starts from within, moves to the outside. Happiness is not outward in, it's inward out. Amen. Amen. And so he says, blessed. And so when you see that word blessed, basically he says, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now notice, Jesus says, if you're going to be happy, verse 3, you got to have the right attitude towards yourself. Then when he says, blessed are they that mourn, you got to have the right attitude towards sin. Then when he says, blessed are the meek, then you got to have the right attitude towards others. Then when he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied or filled, you got to have the right attitude towards God. Do you see? If you having the right attitude deals with one happiness. The right attitude towards yourself, the right attitude towards others, the right attitude towards sin, the right attitude towards God. As a matter of fact, most of the time when I teach this, and if this was all I was going to teach tonight, I would draw like a lit mountain. And I would show that these eight attitudes shows a person coming to Christ and then working for Christ. The first four shows you coming up the mountain, coming to Christ, because Christ is on the mountain. And so the first four attitudes shows a person who have come to Christ. So if a person sat down in front of me and they talking and I'm dialoguing with them, I'm evaluating them to find out have they truly came to Christ, looking at those four attitudes. And then a person can talk and they can say, you know, well, I know I'm working for the Lord. Well, I'll look at the last four attitudes. Because the first attitude that you have when you are working for the Lord, you got to be merciful. Yeah, because once you start coming down the mountain, once you come up the mountain, you're coming to Christ. But once you start going down that mountain, now you're going back down there where they got some boogers at. So as you start going down the mountain on that other side, you're going to start bumping into people whose attitude ain't like your attitude because they ain't came to Christ. So you got to have an attitude to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Now, I didn't say they didn't know who they're messing with. Hello, somebody. I'm just saying they didn't know what they're doing. Amen. Amen. And as you go down farther that mountain, you got to start having an attitude of peace because there's fights down there. Folks are fighting on that side of the mountain. So you got to break up the fight. You can't have the attitude of, oh, get them, boy, get them, hit them high, hit them low. Come on, y'all, let's go. You can't, no, that ain't the attitude. You got to come back on that other side if that's still your attitude. You're supposed to be breaking up the fight, not, ooh, y'all, come on, y'all, let's look at this fight. No. And then when you get down to the bottom of the mountain, now they start fighting you. Mm-hmm. That's how you know you're really working for the Lord. See, most people want to stay up here with Jesus all day long. Me and Jesus just got a good thing going. You know, me and Jesus got it all worked out. Sweet Jesus. You know, we just want to just, but when you start working for the Lord, you start bumping into problems. That's why you got to make sure you done came to him. Because you ain't ready to go on that other side and start working for the Lord until you done came to the Lord. Amen. And so these are the eight attitudes. The first four shows a person coming to the Lord. The last four shows a person working for the Lord. All right, and so you have Jesus teaching on the attitudes of his followers, then Jesus teaching on the law. And what you will find in this Sermon on the Mount is Jesus, His whole teaching is going to be teaching of contrast. His teaching is going to be teaching of contrast. Everything that he's going to be saying is going to be totally different from how they have been taught. As a matter of fact, even with this thing of happiness, Jesus basically was answering the question that most people was asking in his day, what can make a person happy? The Greek culture says the thing that can make a person happy is knowledge. And so that's why they got into philosophy, you know, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. They wanted to get into knowledge. They wanted to get into because knowledge will make a person really happy. The Romans said that no, material things will make a person happy. And so if you get stuff, stuff will make a person happy. And the Jews said that you have to have the knowledge, but it's the knowledge of the law that will make a person happy. And Jesus says it ain't just having the knowledge of the law. It ain't having material stuff. It's not having just knowledge, period. He says, no, what's going to really make a person happy is the heart. It starts with the heart, inside out, having a relationship with God. And so that's what can make a person happy. Now he's going to go with the same thing here. The Jewish religious leaders, they was teaching one thing on the law. But notice how Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, look at what he says. Do not, verse number 17, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to do what? Jesus says, I'm going to fulfill the law. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whosoever then shall annul one of the least of these commandments and so teach others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever keepeth and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that unless your righteousness surpass that of the scribe and the Pharisee, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a shocking statement. Because the people was looking up at the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. They was looking up at them and saying, boy, if I can just be like them, if I can be like them. Because the Pharisees had set themselves up as the standard. And that's how it is even today. People change God's standard and we look at man and man become the standard. Oh, yeah, yeah. In almost any church and almost any religion, we look up at certain people and say, oh, if I can just be like that. And Jesus knows that we think like that. And Jesus, he took the most religious people of his day and said, unless you're better than them, you can't get in. You can't get into the kingdom. Now, that's a powerful statement. That would be like Jesus coming in our day, and everybody's looking at Billy Graham and say, oh, if I can just be like Mr. Graham, if I can be like Reverend Graham, I would be all right. And Jesus says, unless you're better than Mr. Graham, you can't get in. That would be a shocking statement. That would be a shocking statement. Because these religious leaders had been walking around like they were the standard. Like they were the standard. But God is the matter of fact, I was listening to a sermon that I preached the other day. I think it was on the radio station last week. And I had, I had Brother Payne. I had Brother Ryan, and I had somebody else up here. Brother Howard. I think you can remember. And I had all of them to jump as far as they could jump.
Oh, I think I remember.
And that was like the standard. And so when the first one jumped, they wanted to jump at least to where he was or try to beat him. Mm-hmm. And I was showing that even the one that jumped the farthest, that still wasn't enough to get in. Because I had set up, the goal was way over here by that piano. It was way over there by the piano. But they was jumping, you know, right here, and then the other one jumped right here, and the other one jumped right there. But the goal was over here at the piano. Yeah, and so none of them could make it. But how we often do, whoever jumped the furthest, we often applaud. And I got the tape. Everybody was applauding. As a matter of fact, they was talking about, go Howard, go. Go Howard, go. Go Howard, go. I said, man, look at that. Amen. But that's kind of how it is. We change the standard based on what we see other people do. Yeah. Yeah. And so Jesus says, now, I came to fulfill the law. Everybody else has been jumping and they're getting close to it and what happened. But Jesus says, I'm going to fulfill it. If it's 100%, I'm going to do a whole 100%. Whole 100%. Whole 100%. All right. All right. Now, look what Jesus says. Watch these statements that Jesus makes. Look at verse 21. Jesus says, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commit murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Notice how Jesus is raising the stake. He said, y'all been taught about the outward action. As long as you don't commit the outward action, then you are right. But Jesus said, I say, even if you get angry with your brother, you've already done committed a sin. You're already in trouble with the court. Now, isn't that something? Is Jesus lowering the standard or raising the standard? He's raising the standard. He's raising the standard. Look what he says in verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Now, that's what y'all done heard. That's what y'all teachers are teaching. But watch what Jesus said. But I say to you that everyone who looked on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her in his heart. See, Jesus is letting us know sin don't take place on the outside. Sin takes place on the inside. That's where sin takes place. See, most of us think that, well, you know, if we put the Ten Commandments there, we'd say, well, you know, I got this one. Let me check this one off. Check that one off. Check that one off. Check that one off. I may have a little trouble with that. But this one here, I'll check that and off. Check that. You see, because we look at things on outwardness. But if we look at it really on inwardness, we done broke all teeth.
Down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.